We organize ourselves. We mobilize ourselves.
Lessons of the world.
First is global crisis. We build the food sovereignty
to ensure our future for humanity.
Let's go to the 8th International Conference to renew our commitments and raise our struggles for a better world.
Hello, and welcome to the latest edition of Peasant Voices, a new podcast series of La Vía Campesina that offers grassroots perspectives on matters affecting food and agriculture. In this podcast, Morgan Odi from France and Beatrice Katsigasi from Uganda explain how food sovereignty, a concept introduced by social movements like La Vía Campesina into the international policy circles, has become urgent and necessary in the face of the multiple crises affecting humanity and the planet today. Morgan and Beatrice are also members of the International Coordination Committee of La Vía Campesina, and as a peasant farmers offer us a perspective that is rooted in their daily life on the farm. Let's welcome them in. Hello, Beatrice and Morgan. Welcome to this new episode of our global podcast, where we explore the origins, evolution, and current status of the global food sovereignty movement, of which La Vía Campesina is an integral part. For the benefit of our listeners, can you tell us, Beatrice, what is food sovereignty?
Thank you for hosting me.
So at fundamental level, food sovereignty is the right for people to find their own food produced through natural and sustainable methods.
Can you share how this concept is applicable to your daily life?
But for me, as I understand the food sovereignty, it is the basket where the farmers can collect our own food, the food which is healthy, and we can feed our people, and we can get what we want. We can keep our own seeds, we can keep our own goats, like animals. When we talk about food sovereignty, it is the food we grow organically using our own seeds. We grow it in our gardens, and there is no chemicals in our foods. And there is no those hybrid seeds, and there is no those fertilizers. We use our own fertilizers. That is what we use, and our indigenous seeds.
Thank you, Beatrice. And let me turn to you, Morgan, now. So, building on what Beatrice just defined for us, can you give us a brief history of how and why La Vía Campesina and its allies introduced this concept into the international policy circles in the late 90s?
Thank you for inviting us to this show, and thank you, Beatrice. I would also urge the listeners of this podcast to look at what is called the Niéleni Declaration of 2007. In 2007, in Niéleni, Mali, social movements from around the world developed and expanded this definition, aligning the principles of food sovereignty with the strengthening of rural economies, recognition of the role of peasant women in food production, building transparency in trade, fostering solidarity and internationalism, and more than that. But coming back to its origins, food sovereignty was not something invented by La Vía Campesina or other social movements. Actually, all we did was giving expression to a social practice that peasants and indigenous communities carried out for thousands of years around the world. And it reminds us of a time when food was primarily produced in a region to feed the people in and around that region, and the surplus was traded in exchange for other goods and services. Most of the production was small scale, with diverse cropping patterns in line with the geopolitical and climatic realities of that region. Production methods did not irreversibly harm the environment. However, as industrialization expanded and globalization of trade gained steam in the 90s, a new kind of agriculture began to take hold. Industrial agriculture, where food is mass-produced on monocultural farm at the cost of local biodiversity using highly harmful chemical inputs processed in large factories and stored in massive cold storage facilities. International cargo and shipment were used to transport food from one end of the world to the other, and so forth. The shift in the way we produce and consume food has had devastating impacts on the planet, biodiversity, people's health, and the livelihood of millions of small-scale farmers in both the global north and south, because the small-scale farmers were unable to compete with large-scale factory farms. So we in La Via Campesina, we sensed the danger in the 90s of where this could lead us. International policy circles, as well as national policies, were more concerned about corporate interest, but they did not really try to understand who was producing that food and how food was being produced and at what cost to the planet and to rural economies. So they framed this corporate interest as food security, as a policy framework that was only about so-called providing food, but just like feeding animals, without fundamentally questioning or challenging the modes of production and how it harmed the planet, as well as the health and the livelihood of people. And this is why La Via Campesina introduced the concept of food sovereignty in policy cycle. It was a political idea that defended the right of small-scale food producers as much as it did the rights of the people consuming food. And an idea that also factors in the principles of social equity and social justice, so that we can overcome the terrible practices of feudalism, racism, patriarchy, and so forth that existed in the past and continue to exist today.
In the context of the current environmental crisis, our peasant project...
Food sovereignty is a solution. You know that I was saying that the food sovereignty is a basket for food for farmers, and the new public policy can be improved at the local and national level. The industrial, they affect the ecosystem. It affects our crops. It affects us as people. Our development, it is not okay.
Governments today, several large philanthropies and even some large corporations are also talking about solving world hunger through sustainable farming and using new age technologies. What is your reading of it?
So faced with the environmental crisis and the physical limits of available resources, indeed the global elites, their transnational companies, big capital, they are trying to save their interest and establish their dominance by claiming that they can provide solutions to the environmental crisis. So they basically propose three paths: billions of dollars of investment, new technologies, and the optimization of And the third one is the optimization of resource use. All three directions inevitably lead to increased land and food grabbing, and these are direct attacks on small-scale producers. For example, the claim to develop smart agriculture, it's not only an affront to all farmers who have been cultivating the land and producing healthy food for the population for generations, but it is also the denial of the reality and effectiveness of our peasants' production methods. Indeed, industrial agriculture, and in particular the latest inventions of digital agriculture, have never led to more efficient use of productive resources. The efficiency that they claim lies in the productivity of labor. In other words, fewer and fewer workers are needed to cultivate the same area of land, so much so that big tech companies have even imagined and promote, actually, agriculture without farmers. But the yield per unit area, per liter of water, and per liter of fuel consumed has always been higher in peasant production models than in monocultures or landless livestock production.
Those scientists, they can go down to the farmers, they sit with farmers and discuss about what the farmers want, and they see what can be grown there instead of sitting in their offices and start finding solution for them. At the local communities, when you sit down with them, they can come out with their solutions instead of telling them this is and this.
So in this current context, what are the critical areas that need attention to realize this concept of food sovereignty?
Well, I would begin with the right to land, water, seeds, and the defense of territories against the monopolization of transnational companies. Then second, market regulation is very important. So the support for genuine cooperatives and territorial markets in each and every territory in order to ensure a decent income for small and medium-sized food producers, including farm workers and, and also affordable prices for workers and food consumers. But this also includes other market regulation tools, such as minimum support, public stocks, and other tools for market regulation. The third aspect is the development and empowering skills and knowledge, such as agroecology techniques, with a farmers-to-farmers approach, and the promotion of accessible low technologies adapted to the need of small producers and requiring little fossil or electrical energy. Fourth is the defense of the right of peasants and agricultural workers, especially the most vulnerable, such as migrant workers and women. And five, it is about rivalries, solidarity and mutual aid, peasants and artisanal work, and values linked to autonomy and community life.
Would you add something more to that list, Beatrice?
If we can support agroecology schools, and also we support the seed banks, you know, the seed banks where the farmers can keep their seeds and exchange their seeds, so that one can help.
The struggle for food sovereignty is now nearly 3 decades old. La Via Campesina is also completing 30 years since its founding. There is also an 8th international conference of the Global Peasant Movement coming up in Bogota. What do you think will be the crucial steps that La Via Campesina must take in the next few years?
La Via Campesina can build the capacity of the farmers so they can work together at the local and at the national level. And another one, it is good to have alliance at the international level. For example, the International Planning Committee of Food Sovereignty is one such a space. Help us as farmers, they can help us as La Via Campesina to know our strategies, how we can use food sovereignty, as I was talking about it, and continue with it.
And let me add here that in the context of food crisis, the obvious strength of peasant agriculture can also represent opportunities that did not exist before. For example, the lack of availability and accessibility of chemical fertilizers highlights the need to support agroecology and the use of organic fertilizers. And similarly, the destabilization of international trade is causing some softened governments to reconsider the priority given to agricultural exports and to review agricultural policies that support relocated food production.
In Colombia, what I think it will be good to make, we are going to meet many farmers there. We are going to meet with many people. Some we are going to exchange the experience with them. And we are going to exchange the experience how the policies are working. And another one, it is about we women. You know that we women, we are the most people who stay in farms. But we are getting little. We are not paid for. We are working hard. At the end of the day, when you lost your husband or you lost you leave your family, you go with nothing. So I want to say with other women of movement of La Via Campesina, see how we can help other women to see that we can support ourselves in our international level organization, grassroots levels, so that we can come out and train other women.
Faced with global crisis, we build through sovereignty to ensure a future for humanity.
Share this podcast and spread the word on your local media and among your collective spaces. Learn more by visiting viacampesina.org. Don't forget to keep up with us on social media too.